Well, thank you, Reverend Salt, and I'd ask you all to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 4. When you're given the topic that I was given today, it's hard to go away from the text that's before us here in this portion of the Word of God. Can I just thank you, Minister, and the overseeing session for the invitation to be here. This conference, I do count it a real privilege and responsibility to bring the Word of God to you over this weekend. It has been good to be here. We had a good time Friday night. We do trust the Lord to help us today around the Word. Just with regards to the magazine, again, it's good to see boys and girls here. Our brother McConnell, Robert McConnell, looks after the children's page of the magazine. You make sure and look at that page. There's a wee quiz section at the bottom of that page, and those answers go to me. So you can see your mom and daddy a post stamp today by doing it this afternoon and bringing me the answer tonight. And I'll make sure you're entered into that prize for the prize. £5 is the prize that you will get. Now, you don't all get it. There's only 8 winners per edition. So if you don't get a prize this time, well, perhaps next time you might. But if you can have that to me tonight, I'll make sure you're entered into that that quiz. Do read that page. And for the grown-ups, can I commend particularly this magazine, an article by Reverend Nelson on the issue of the prayer meeting. It's a tremendous article in the magazine on the matter of prayer and the public prayer meeting of the House of God. Do take that. That could be your afternoon homework. No quiz at the bottom of that, but I could ask some questions as you leave. But it's a very, very good article on the matter of the church prayer meeting in this edition of the magazine. So we're in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4, I'm going to read together from the verse number 20. And the verse number 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Amen. May God bless this portion's word. Let's bow together in prayer. And again, earnestly seek the Lord for his help as we come to the preaching of the word of God this morning. Eternal God, we do thank thee afresh for this time in your house. We do rejoice, O God, that it is a good thing to be in the house of God and able to praise your name. And we ask, O Lord, now as we would come to this time in the meeting when we need the help of God, we need thy grace, O Lord, to preach aright. We pray for the outpouring of the Spirit of God, even that every word would be owned of thyself. We pray for all who hear. Grant the hearing of faith tonight or today. We pray, O Lord, that again the ears would be open to receive the word of God, and that hearts would be prepared, blessed by self. O Lord, deal with each and every need, and meet with us this day, for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. The latest figures from the British Heart Foundation make grim reading for an Ulster man or an Ulster woman. Of the top 10 regions, now this is not a good place to be top 10, the top 10 worst regions for heart disease in the United Kingdom, there are 3 regions from Northern Ireland itself. Ballymoney. There are no Ballymoney men or women here, I don't think, today. If you are, you can speak to me afterwards. Number 2 in the whole of the United Kingdom. Not so bad in this area, but still well above national average in all of the UK. Heart disease is the United Kingdom's single biggest killer. Nearly 1 in 6 men or 1 in 6 women will die from coronary heart disease. Today, about 200 people will die in the United Kingdom from coronary heart disease. 200 people today. Every 7 minutes, someone in the UK will die from a heart attack. These are the stark figures. When you put them to numbers like that, you see just the nature of heart disease in our land, which gives impetus to the health promotion campaign which we are aware of in the media continually. The need to look after our hearts. Now, believers should be concerned with these things. Again, whilst the title was given to me for the topic this morning, there was freedom to bring my own thoughts to bear. And there is a temptation to talk about the responsibility of the Christian to look after their health. It's a temptation to deal with the Christian and the matter of the ticker within their chest and how that it is their responsibility to look after the temple that God has given them. You see, you think about the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill, of course. And the catechism, when it asks the question, what is forbidden in the sixth commandment? The answer is, the sixth commandment forbiddeth the taking away of our own life or the life of our neighbour unjustly. We accept that. Don't take your life. Don't take your neighbour's life. But it also adds these words, or whatsoever tendeth thereunto. And those who framed our catechisms years and years ago understood that we were not permitted to treat our bodies as we pleased. And we ought to be careful, as the larger catechism says, with respect to the immoderate use of meat, drink, labour and recreations. Immoderate use of these things were viewed by our forefathers as sin. It's never a popular topic to preach from the pulpit on the immoderate use, particularly in the Lord's Day when I'm sure I will and you will all go home and have a large meal. But regardless of that, we must be realising that we do have a responsibility in this matter. And it wouldn't be out of place. It wouldn't be out of place at all to deal with that from the pulpit. That's part of God's law. And as such, it is something that would not be wrong to deal with in the house of God this morning. But I want to deal, of course, with a matter that's even more challenging. And that is the matter of the heart or the soul of man. You see, when the Bible speaks about the heart, it is usually speaking of the inner man or the soul. You remember well, even the boys and girls will remember well the account of Samuel visiting David's family. And you all know the record of how the sons are brought one by one to the prophet with respect to anointing a future king. And the Lord says to Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on his height, or the height of his stature. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For the man looketh on the outward appearance, you know the text, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And there you see how the Bible understands the word heart. It's used over 800 times in our Bibles, and in the vast majority, and I must confess, I did not go through all 800 of them, but the vast majority of references to heart in the Bible is speaking about our inner man. That part of our being that cannot be seen. We are body and spirit. We are physical and we are spiritual. And our heart is dealing with our spiritual faculty. You see, it is interesting that people realize and recognize that the health of the heart is vital to life. It wasn't unusual back in the times when I used to work as a general practitioner that men, I worked in Ballymoney, men in Ballymoney would come to you at a certain time in their lives and they would knock the door and you'd never seen them before and they would come in through the door and they would say, Doctor, I need an MOT. And you would smile and say, well, you know, the mechanic's round the corner and we can get that organised for you. No, you wouldn't. They understood that what they really wanted was not that you would worry about their toenails and their ears and all the rest. What they wanted to know was, what's my heart like, doctor? Because they understood that the health of their heart was central to their entire well-being. Now, we're not going to look at this section of the Proverbs today, but you will see that the text says, out of it are the issues of life. And the wise man understands that the heart's health affects the issues of life. The mouth, the eyes, the feet, all of which are contained as the issues of life in the future or the succeeding verses. If your heart's not healthy, your eyes, your ears, your feet, they all go the wrong direction. But a healthy heart ensures a healthy spiritual life. And so I want to begin today by
concern the issue of the source of a healthy heart. Just so you know where we're going, the third point today is not the last. Okay, so we get to number three, you think, well, that's it, we're near the end. No, five, but we'll go through them very quickly. And the first one is the source of a healthy heart. Now, in the natural world, most are born with a healthy heart. Again, some boys and girls can do in their spare time sometime. You can think about a heart beating 60 beats a minute or thereabouts. How many minutes in an hour? How many hours in a day? Somebody lives 70 years. And your mental mass quest is how many times will an average man's heart beat in their lives? Don't do it right now. Please don't do it right now. You'll miss the entire sermon before you get the answer. But you see, we're normally born with healthy hearts. And bar the tragedy of congenital heart disease, we have a healthy heart, and over time the effects of sin come in. We sin in the natural body again. We only die because of sin. And our hearts are affected by sin. Vessels get furred up and disease sets in. But in the spiritual realm, we are not born with healthy hearts. Spiritually speaking, we are born with disease in our hearts. In fact, in a sense, we are born with hearts that are dead, and we'll see that very shortly. Our hearts, in light of Adam's sin, do not function as they ought to function. As the book of Jeremiah says in that very well-known text, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And the sense there is incurably sick. The heart of the natural man is incurably sick. And that's the picture we're given here. Our hearts by nature are not healthy. Rather, the transgression of the wicked coming from their heart in Psalm 36 says there is no fear of God before his eyes. So the natural man has no fear of God because of the state of their hearts. The heart of man, the heart of every single man, yours in this meeting, is born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And when you think about the natural heart, you will say, well, what does that matter? What's the big deal? Well, because of the nature of our hearts, we are by nature idolaters. By nature, we are those who have a misplaced love. Again, the heart is often used as a symbol of love, even in our own culture. And so it is in the Bible. The heart particularly has the affections or the emotion of love at its central thought. And in Romans chapter 1, the apostle reminds us of the ungodly, and their foolish heart was darkened. And the consequence of a foolish heart being darkened is an exchanging of the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. And so what Paul is saying is, what's the big deal about a bad heart? Well, what the bad heart does, it loves the gift more than the giver. And we are by nature idolaters, not little statues that we put on the shelf, but we love the physical more than the spiritual. And so we see in our own day and generation a world that is marked by bad hearts. And so what happens? Men are lovers of selves, according to 2 Timothy 3. They are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. The heart leads to idolatry. You know, I don't know where your heart is today in that sense. You're here for a spiritual MOT. You're here to come to the doctor of Scripture and examine yourselves in light of the Word of God. And the Word of God says that if you are an idolater, you've a disease and a sinful heart. If you love your job more than God, you're an idolater. You love your house and your car more, you put all of your efforts and energy into those things, you are guilty of idolatry. You may love your family more than God. Idolatry. If we do not love the gifts in a way that directs us to the giver, then we are guilty of idolatry. And our hearts, they're in a diseased state. But the natural man's heart also, due to its disease, is also bound to unbelief.
Turn over, please, to Luke chapter 8. To Luke chapter 8. Now, you will know Luke chapter very, very well. You'll know it from you were very, very young. It's one of the first stories you get covered at a children's meeting or Sunday school. It's the parable of the sower. And you will, of course, remember the parable of the sower and how there were four separate soils. One sower, that is Christ himself. One seed, that is the word of God. And as the seed is sown across the four soils, there are four different responses. Three soils, fruitlessness. Ultimately pointing to the rejection of the seed. Now there may have been some temporary response, but at the end there is no fruit. And essentially the seed is rejected. But the fourth soil, of course, brings forth much fruit. And the rest portions are given there on the verse number 18. And bear fruit and hundredfold. But our Lord, when he gives the commentary on the parable of the sower in verse 15, says this: but that on the good ground are they, listen to this, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. What's the difference between the hearers of the word of God? Four soils. The word of God's been sown on each and every heart. Three. No ultimate fruits. One, the child of God, described here as having an honest and a good heart. But you say, well, wait a minute, preacher. The heart's incurably sick, desperately wicked. How can I have an honest and a good heart? How can I receive the word of God? You see, those soils that did not receive the word of God are indicative of the bad hearts. And the natural heart of man is sick and it rejects the gospel. And so if you are here and you are a rejecter of the gospel, you hear the word of God preached from this pulpit, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, and you are determined to reject it, I am telling you now, in light of the word of God, your heart's not good and honest. I said, I'm not a bad person, preacher, but you don't believe the word of God. And therefore, in the testament of Christ, you do not have an honest and a good heart. But how do I get that? Well, you get it as a gift from God. It is God who gives us a good and an honest heart. Turn back, please, to Ezekiel chapter 11. Ezekiel chapter 11. For in Ezekiel 11, again, we come to another reference, a very important reference to the heart. The context is with respect to wicked Israel. As a nation, they have determined to reject God, reject his word, reject the authority of God over their lives. But God comes and gives them a promise of restoration, a new covenant promise. And in that promise, you have the words of verse number 19, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people and I will be their God. And what the Lord promises to old covenant Israel is the covenant that we are made nigh by the blood of Christ, Ephesians 2. We are strangers to the covenants of promise as a Gentile congregation, but we're made nigh by the blood of Christ, made nigh to this very covenant. So that we are those for whom God has taken out the diseased heart of stone and granted us a heart of flesh. It's a reference to the rebirth. It's a reference to what God does in regeneration when he removes a wicked heart and gives us a heart of flesh. Paul, in speaking to the New Testament church in Corinth, says to them, ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, written with the Spirit of God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And so right at the beginning of this subject of looking after your hearts, I want to ask you the question, do you have a new heart?
That actually is the most important issue that we can deal with this morning. Is your heart a big lump of stone? Bent on idolatry? Determined to reject the Word of God? Does that describe your heart this morning? If so, you need to cry unto God as you sit there for mercy and run to the cross for salvation. That's your need. That's your need. You don't need some pills. You don't need a stent put in or some sort of cardiac surgery. You need a heart transplant. That's essentially what the Word of God teaches. You see, as the people of God, it's crucial, whenever the wise man says, keep thy heart, that you understand you are to keep something that God has given you. It's not something of no importance. You've been granted a new heart from the Lord, and you're then given this responsibility to keep that which God has given you. So that's the source of a healthy heart. Well, secondly, we must look on to the nature of securing the healthy heart. We're, of course, looking now at the word keep. Proverbs 4, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence. The word keep is often used in the Old Testament with respect to guarding. And the idea is, therefore, that there are things that are detrimental to our hearts. There are things that would remove our spiritual vitality. I'd imagine most of you who have been converted for any length of time will think back to times in your spiritual experience when your heart was cold. You will think back to times when you were dull and lifeless and you lacked the enthusiasm for the Lord. And when you think back to those times, I wonder, can you remember what caused it? Because if you can identify what causes a cold heart in the child of God, then those are the things you must guard against. Our surrounding environment has a detrimental effect upon our hearts. Again, you as a generation live in a day and age when you don't be told with this because you've heard all about passive smoking. When I first began to train, it's not that many years ago, that was virtually an unknown thing. But now it's recognized the danger of passive smoking, not in your house, not in your car, not in your work, not anywhere, and that's a good thing. It's got a dangerous impact upon you. We're told by the Lord in Matthew 24 that when iniquity abounds, the love of many waxes cold. He's describing those who profess to be Christians. For they once had a love that was not cold. They once had a hot love for Christ. But now it's waxing cold in the context of surrounding iniquity. Dear child of God, you live in a day and generation when iniquity abounds and increases each and every day. And the great danger is that your heart will grow cold. The great danger is you will look upon it and you will imbibe. You will breathe in the passive smoking of a wicked world and it will dull your heart. You say, what do I do about it, preacher? Well, be careful. Be careful of your company. But more importantly, be aware of the danger. And then you remember the words that conclude that section. The one that endures to the end shall be saved. Do not be like those whose hearts are cold. Those who once professed faith in Christ, but now are cold. So beware your surrounding environment when you keep your heart. And this one, you'll love this one. Beware your diet. Diet. Oh, how we love as doctors to talk about diet. I worked in Ballymoney, and if you ever go up the North Coast, you'll know if you go up the North Coast and through Ballymoney, and there's a fantastic chip shop on the left-hand side, the Flash in the Pan. I worked in Ballymoney for a long time, and I could not bring myself to stop there for chips on the way home. Fantastic chip shop. Until my very last day, and then I went to the Flash in the Pan on the way home for a chip on the way home. You see, we love to talk about the ill effects of diet.
And you all know the stuff, you know, avoid your cholesterol, avoid your fats, your sugars, and all the rest of your heart will be fine. Christians, we are very casual and careless about what we take into our spiritual bodies. What do we fill our hearts with? What was your diet like in the past week with respect to the modern glut of the media world? With regards to books you read, magazines you read, newspapers you read, films you imbibed, the internet you looked upon, all of the diet that fills your heart, what did you take in this past week? Because there are things that will rob you of your love for Christ. There are things that you take in, they will remove your healthy heart. So-called Christian literature and Christian television. I'm amazed at how many Christians will turn on their satellite TV and they'll go to one of these channels, and because it's got Christian in some attachment, that they will presume that's good for their health. I was talking to somebody else a long ago and they were discussing one of these channels. Oh, you know, preacher, the Bible's used, and that they make sure everything is backed up with the Bible. One quick search. They denied the Trinity. They denied salvation by faith alone. It was a cult under a Christian TV channel. Christians, they suck it all in. And they presume, it's got the name Christian, it's fine. You need to watch your diet, child of God. You need to be careful that your heart is not robbed from the purity of Christ by that which will take away your love for the Lord. But we need to keep moving quickly, don't we? The third thing, the supplying of the heart. Back to Proverbs chapter 4, if you've turned away. The supplying of the healthy heart. You see, of course, our hearts are kept by avoiding that which is damaging, but our hearts are also kept by taking in that which is good. Those of you who have gone for your MOT will have been told by your doctor about good cholesterol and bad cholesterol, and different LDLs and HDLs and all those things. No, okay, well, but you should be, you should have been. There are things that are good for your heart. Things you take in that have a healthy, protective benefit of your heart. And look what it says in verse number 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. What's the wise man saying? Truth is good for your heart. You see, turn over to chapter 23 of the book. Chapter 23 of Proverbs in the verse number 12. And again, the wise man gives this instruction unto your souls. Where he says, apply thine heart unto instruction, and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Good doctrine and teaching is for your health. The Apostle Paul repeated this thought very, very often. If you turn over, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 6, but as you turn there, just listen to some of these words. You're turning to 1 Timothy 6, but I'm going to read to you 2 Timothy chapter 4. And the verse number 3, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not endure sound doctrine. Or Titus chapter 1, the verse number 9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine. Or Titus 2, verse 1, but speak by the things which become sound doctrine. Each of those references to sound doctrine uses the same word for sound from which we get our word hygienic from. And what the apostle is saying is, there is truth that is for your health. There is doctrinal teaching, the instruction of the word of God, that is for your spiritual heart's well-being. Again, we often think of doctrine and we think, oh, doctrine. The word simply means teaching.
And though you may have been exposed to some sort of doctrine that is dry and dusty and dead and belongs on a bookshelf, the teaching of the Word of God is for your health. And so, in the portion you turn to there in 1 Timothy chapter 6, you'll see the same word, but translated with a different word in our English Bibles. Verse 3 of chapter 6. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Wholesome words. Sounds like wholesome food, doesn't it? This food is wholesome. It looks wholesome. It's funny how wholesome food often looks wholesome. But wholesome doctrine is good for you. It's good for you. And how do you know it's wholesome? Well, we've got some clues here to identify wholesome words. They are words that come from Christ. They are words that Christ is the author of. It's the Word of God. For He is the great prophet of God, and the entire book comes from our blessed Savior. And the wholesome words come from Christ, and they are about Christ. They are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sound doctrine is doctrine that teaches you and points you to who He is and what He has done. That is the doctrine that is for the healthy heart of the people of God. And the reason, tragically, that many of God's people's hearts have become fat and dull is because Christ is not exalted. Christ is not taught, and we have churches across our land where there are those whose hearts have grown cold because there is no wholesome words. They're not being taught from Christ, about Christ, unto Christ. Because how do you know that truth is wholesome? It is unto godliness. It's unto Christ-likeness. And so, we as preachers in the pulpit, it is our duty under God to endeavour to feed you upon the truth of Christ in the Scriptures. But do you take it? Wholesome food at times can be hard to digest. It takes a lot of chewing. You've got to really chew wholesome food. You've got to make sure it goes down right. And it's not sometimes the easiest thing to take in. But I wonder, is there any in this congregation, and do you just despise efforts made in the pulpit to give you good food for your soul? Naturally, we all love McDonald's. But it's not for our good. Naturally, we all love the junk food. And we do live in a day and generation when the people of God would say, I want short sermons and story sermons. I want things that are easy to listen to, easy to take in. I don't want to think of a Christ person. He's God and man. Truly God, truly man in one person. How can that be? Oh, it's in the Word of God. I don't want to think about the details of Christ's death as our substitute. I'd like a wee devotional thought that I can take with me until I go home and then forget about it. No, the people of God need wholesome words. And they must go to their preachers. This is not my pulpit, so I can say this. And say, feed us wholesome words. No matter what the rest of the congregation say, we need a good square meal of the doctrine of Christ and His person and work. See, that's what supplies the healthy heart. The people of God who are fed full of the doctrine of Christ in the Scriptures. Of course, all of this is done in dependence upon the Lord. The keeping and the supply of the heart is done, realizing that as the psalmist says in Psalm 31, He shall strengthen your hearts. Now, we don't do it in our own strength, we do it because God strengthens our hearts. I understand that. But our responsibility is to pray in the Word of God, Lord, strengthen my heart. Use this good food to build up my spiritual soul, that I be strong in heart, and not a heart that's growing cold. It's really very simple. Bible, truth, and prayer keeps the heart healthy. And if you're in this meeting today and you must confess your backslidden, your cold and heart, you're away from the Lord, I guarantee at some point you've neglected Bible study and prayer. And everybody who's fallen away from the Lord at some time or other will testify to the same. I neglected the private place. I neglected the Word of God. I neglected prayer. Spiritual heart disease set in. Well, that's three. Very quickly, we've got to think about the stretching of the healthy heart. You're in 1 Timothy chapter 6. You could turn back to chapter 4. Very, very quickly, just one thing. The stretching of the healthy heart. Exercise. Isn't that what the doctor says to you? Diet and exercise. It's very simple. You want a good MOT? Diet and exercise. Diet and exercise. Well, look at verse 7. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. You see, he mentions physical exercise. Bodily exercise, it profiteth little. That's not an excuse to give up an exercise. What's in view there is that it's beneficial, yes, but for a little time. It's beneficial for the time you spend in your physical bodies. But godliness and exercise unto godliness has got eternal benefits. The word exercise used there in the verse number 7 is the word that we get our word gymnasium from. The spiritual gymnasium. You must exercise, child of God. If you're going to keep your heart with all diligence, you must be diligent. And that involves exercise. Yes, in the private place. Not contenting yourself with a 30 seconds to meet God devotional book, but determining to work hard on the treadmill of the Word of God and prayer in the private place. Yes, that's important. But also exercising yourself with the people of God. I don't know if the book's a good book or not. I just have a vague memory of a title of a book where the author entitles the book, Church is Not a Spectator Sport, or something like that. The church is not for people to sit in the stands and to applaud the preacher. Yeah, well done, preacher, you're working hard. As he runs around the track. The church is not a place to look at each other and perhaps watch the football team. And 11 choice members of the church are all on the pitch and they're the ones who get the round of applause. No, the church is a place where each and every member is actively engaged in exercising themselves unto godliness. And so they will exercise themselves in worship. They will not be so convinced of it coming to the house of God for what they can get, but what they can give. And they will come with a desire to give praise and glory unto God. And they'll exercise their lungs and they'll praise the Lord. They'll be exercising themselves in witness. They'll be determining to witness for Christ in this lost world. They'll exercise themselves in works. In serving the church of Christ for the glory of God. Exercise thyself unto godliness. Stretch the heart. But finally, as we close, what about the signs of a healthy heart? In your MOT, the doctor, I'm sure, would have checked your pulse, checked your blood pressure. How do we listen in to the heart? Make sure no extra sounds. Good, low, steady pulse. Low blood pressure. Now, those are good signs. They're good signs of a healthy heart. So how do we determine a healthy heart that's kept with all diligence? What's a healthy heart look like? You can't see the spiritual heart. So what does it look like? Well, a healthy heart is a heart that loves Christ. See, when we speak about the soul of the heart, we are especially examining what we love. And the Bible focuses on the heart as the soul, but especially in light of what a man loves. We are to love the Lord our God with all our hearts. And thus, your heart is healthy in the house of God today if you have a heart that loves Christ. And there are certain signs of love for Christ. There is a desire for His company. You want to fellowship with Christ if your heart's healthy. You want to ensure that you are with the Lord in the house of God and in your home. You think about the spouse in Song of Solomon. The groom came to the door and she, out of neglect, did not go on to the groom. She neglected to be in the presence of the groom, and then her heart smote her and she goes out to find him because she is sick of love. The one who loves Christ wants to be in the presence of Christ in the house of God. They're not happy just to come and meet their friends in church and say hello and how are you and all the rest. They want to make sure that when they come to church, they've met with the Lord. They've spoken to him and he's spoken to them and they fellowship together. They desire his company. They desire his renown. They want to tell others of Christ. And so in their day-to-day lives, they like nothing more than saying how he's precious to them, how they love him, how he means so much to them. They have that desire in their hearts. They desire to praise him in the house of God. We're not all good singers. But the child of God's got a new song in their hearts. It's always a bad sign when people come to church and refuse to sing. If you come to church and you refuse to sing praise unto Christ, it may be that you fear the face of man, and that's a sin in itself. But more than likely it's a state of heart that you do not want to sing praise unto Christ. Because your heart's still a big lump of stone. You see, whenever God deals with your heart, he gives you a desire to praise the name of Christ. There's a desire for his company, for his renown, and for his favor. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my word, says Christ. If your heart's healthy, you will not have a continual desire to do that which is against the words of Christ. Yes, we all sin. But the bent of your life will be to desire the smile of your Savior and to fear his frown. Listen, each of these five brief points could be a sermon themselves. I'm just giving you some food to think about. And you take it away and you examine your heart and you ensure that when you come to see the doctor of the Word of God, and you come to check your heart, you make sure that you have a good heart that's received the Word of God, and that you have a heart that is passionate in its love for Christ. May God be pleased to help us all to keep our hearts with all diligence, for his name's sake. Amen.